It's Wednesday, November 19th, 2008, and you're watching Endpoint TV.
Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm joined by Michelle LaRue Bustamante. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you very much for having me.
And so we've been here this week kind of having this little soiree. We're experiencing Oslo, .NET 4, Dublin, all this stuff, and it's been a big party here. Mm-hmm. So just curious, what's your impression?
About which part, I guess,
Pick your favorite. I don't know.
I mean, I think that if you look at the big picture, right, mm-hmm. What's kind of interesting about this is that we're really heading into a place where we'll have to write less code and less plumbing, which is kind of the direction we've always wanted to go in order to get applications completed. It doesn't mean we'll write no code, but we're sort of, you know, increasing the abstraction, I guess, mm-hmm. from the coding layer up to the modeling layer, and that's a really powerful story. I can see the direction that this is heading, sort of longer term, to where people will really embrace it.
Yeah.
They will. I can see also that what we're releasing now, I mean, what people are going to see at the PDC will hopefully inspire that thought process, right? Mm-hmm. They'll start to see the idea of building repository-based applications where, you know, we can generate very easily using D, you know, the language, or now mm-hmm. M.
Right, right.
So we can actually generate our SQL database store, and we can generate more or less the model, right? What are the entities that we're working with in the relationships and so forth. I can see developers wanting to do that right away.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to that, but just sort of finishing the picture, I can see them then being enjoying the process of using Quadrant to view the model and mm-hmm. sort of interact with it and share that information with other people. And again, I'll come back to maybe why.
Sure.
And then we've got the idea that I can deploy this thing. I guess that's where Dublin comes in, right? Because mm-hmm. I can take what I've built and the repository it's built upon, and from that repository launch it, so it's actually going to execute,
you know, right.
Based on what's in the repository and based on, you know, the new application server runtime, and that will be configurable there, which finally at last we have a configuration engine for, you know, our services and workflows and so forth, so that's pretty cool too.
Yeah. So, okay, so it's
kind of a mouthful. There's a lot of pieces, right?
Yeah.
Oslo is really only the repository part and the modeling language on top, which is M, and then the modeling viewer or, you know, Quadrant.
Yeah.
So those are the three key pieces of Oslo. And then you've got these sort of supporting factors like, you know, where are we heading with .NET 4 and workflow and WCF, and how we're going to generate workflows in Visual Studio, which you can also do in Quadrant, but, you know, developers will probably go between the two, sort of like with Blend and Visual Studio today for WPF, right?
Right, right.
And then we've got this supporting thing under Dublin, which is the application server, and that's great for hosting and running our services and workflows. So,
yeah.
So there's a lot of pieces in this puzzle, which really just means a lot of new acronyms and a lot of new moving parts for people to get their head around. So,
right.
I think that story is going to be important to get through at PDC.
But, you know, this big picture mm-hmm. of moving towards models. I mean, you said something I thought it was kind of interesting at first. You said, for a long time, we've wanted to write less code and, you know, kind of less config. And so, but at the same time, don't you think that people sometimes resist this? We go, well, here's a way to do it. And they go, no, but I like my code, right?
Absolutely. In fact, a perfect example of that is, if you think about it, Complus, right, Enterprise mm-hmm. Services, has been around forever.
Right.
And did a very effective job of making it possible to do distributed applications, right?
Yeah.
And do it securely and configurably. And, you know, you had transaction support and so forth. What percentage of people used it? I ask people all the time in classes and speeches and things, and it's like one person, you know, maybe none. And yet, remoting, which was hands-on, guts, got to do it all myself, don't have transaction support, you know, didn't even have security support until a later add-on.
Yeah.
And people do it. Why? Because they can see the code, right? They can see, okay, this is how I build this, you know, object. This is how I host the object. I have this executable. It's running. But what they didn't get for free, of course, is any of that lifetime management, configurability, even the built-in security. But they prefer, developers prefer to see and feel and touch instead of learn a tool.
Yeah.
However, that's also because the tool needs to be better integrated to what they're used to doing.
Right.
Enterprise services meant going to the operating system mm-hmm. tools, really, you know, MMC Snap-in, and looking at the component manager.
Right.
And that's more considered not a development thing. It's not a development process.
Sure.
I think the difference with this approach is that, you know, developers now also have a kind of a hankering to be architects, right?
Yeah.
They want to see the picture of, you know, what am I designing? And that's not just workflow, because everything doesn't require workflow, but it is, you know, my services and my operations, and here's all the services that I have, and I'm going to host them in this application. And if they can make it easy from one place for me to, you know, view that model and then run it and configure it, then I now have tools that developers can feel in touch in order to get that done. And we all know WCF, for example, and workflow have a lot of complexity to them. So if I can be given a tool to make it easier for me to build those things and design them without having to know all the guts underneath, because that's not really the code, right? The code is my business logic, not my service contract.
Yeah.
Then I now have something to help me get the job done and then deploy it. Now, here's where it gets really cool. This is where developers really, I think, will kind of sink in with this, and that is it kind of starts with the modeling language, M. So I don't know if they named it after Michelle or not. But it used to be D for Dawn, and now it's M, and I'm thinking it's for Michelle, but I don't know for sure. Maybe it's for modeling. But anyway, so M makes it possible for someone to write some, you know, script. Well, it's not really a script, though, right? It's actually a module that has, you know, types inside, and you can see the relations, and you can actually insert content. So instead of me learning T-SQL, I'm learning something that's kind of familiar. It's a bit of a new, you know, coding language, obviously, but it's similar enough that I can move from C#, let's say, and that's a natural transition. And then I can build this thing that I can rerun over and over to actually generate my data and my schema. And that's kind of cool, because I could see, even just for somebody like me, I build reference implementations for clients and I've got to build a real database. I'm not really a SQL person. I know enough, you know, about the right things to do, but I don't, you know, script well or anything. It's an effort for me.
Yeah.
So somebody who's never touched it, now they can actually, you know, learn this language that's also useful for building domain-specific languages, and that's probably the more powerful story. But I can also use it to generate my data store, generate the model, and then I can view that thing in Quadrant. So why is that useful? Well, because then maybe I can view the model, and by the way, the UI customizes to just my entities and constructs, so now I can see, you know, the constructs I created for my application right here, and I can drag and drop new ones and create them and enter them right there. So now I've got a new place where I can enter data around my model or entities, right? Collections, things like that. And I can give that to somebody else who doesn't know how to write code, and they don't have to write any code to actually look at the data, drill down, see an entity, edit it, fix the data. It's pretty cool, you know?
You know, it seems to me...
It's a productivity thing.
We were talking about this earlier. You know, 10, 12 years ago, the world was a lot simpler. You know, there was... I remember at the WinDNA conference, I think this was in... early 2000, you know, right when Windows 2000 shipped, we had one slide that described the way that every app should be built. They were all built the same way, you know, ASP, COM+, ADO. You know, that was it, right? There's three things you had to learn. And today, there's hundreds of things, and they're, like you were saying earlier, they're just kind of going on.
It's a literal avalanche of technologies, right? Like, just even in the past 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I think the... What ends up happening is people learn just enough to kind of do their thing, and they're like, I don't have time for anything else. I'm just going to learn this thing.
Yeah.
But maybe by giving this higher level abstraction, we allow the platform to help you in ways that, you know, without you having to become an expert on a thing, right?
Right. So now, as a developer that has to have their hands in all the pies...
Yeah.
They need to build the data model and build the app on top of the data model.
Yeah.
Now they've got all these tools, or will have all these tools, that will help them get that done more easily.
Yeah.
And you're right, they don't have to be, you know, a DBA or an expert at T-SQL, and they don't have to necessarily have to write a whole bunch of code just to enter data and view it and share it with other business owners. So that has been provided, right, an automatic UI.
Right.
They're still going to build the code for the application, and there still needs to be some architecture around what are my services going to be and where do I need workflow.
Yeah.
And you should have already gone to the drawing board, right, before you build that piece. But once I've got that idea in my mind, I should be able to go to this tool and actually view that model. And then, again, to be able to run it from within Quadrant is more of a kind of nice thing to have just for testing, right, and just quickly kind of executing something. But more importantly, I guess, is the complement to that is the Windows application server, which will let me, you know, configure that stuff and hopefully do it in a more easier way than we have today. And, of course, today a lot of our config is done in XML. So,
what is that sort of the story of the last, you know, few years? We've been kind of increasingly, I mean, I think this is remembering back to the jump to .NET, you know? I was a big Com Plus guy, you know, as I was doing
C++. So how
C++.
Hard was that for you?
You know, at first it was kind of tough, you know? And you think, well, I'm not controlling the memory anymore, you know? And I'm worried about will it leak or not, you know? And you know, so you kind of, after a while, though, you let it go. You're like, man, I never want to go back to all that. It was just a big hassle. I think in some ways, we're asking people to make a similar kind of leap. It's not as huge in some ways, but in other ways, it is very big.
Actually, I think it's a lot bigger of a leap in some respects because of the fact that to think about models instead of starting in code is probably going to be a bit of a paradigm shift for every developer. And I don't think it's an unwelcome one.
Yeah.
The key to all of this, really, is that the UI behind this, right, all the tools we are given to do this thing is made so easy that you wouldn't want to not do it that way, right? That's really the key to this all kind of coming together. And, you know, I think that one thing that's important, and this is a vision that I got out of some of the meetings this week, is that Oslo is not a, you know, it all comes, you know, in V1 type of proposal, right? You're going to see some stuff at PDC that should make you think and understand where we're heading, right?
Yeah.
We meaning really you, Microsoft. Uh-huh. But the thing that they're building is a foundation that is going to go into the future with custom potential domains that help you build applications and other things, right? So it's a foundation. It's like the beginning of something huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe people won't jump on it the day it releases. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe not everybody will.
Sure.
But then again, what technology does everybody jump on right away? So
yeah, not many.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a vision, and it's going to take a while to realize the full vision for sure, because this is a huge shift.
Yeah.
And anytime you're going to remove code, you are, by definition, you have to supply an experience that makes that feel okay.
Well, and we should be clear. Yeah. I mean, for people who get their hands on the early CTPs, it's a little rough around the edges right now. I mean, it's
you're not going to see the finished UI right now.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get that experience at PDC that, oh, wow, I mean,
let me throw away my editor now.
Hook me up, right. But what you should see is the vision.
Yeah.
And I think that's a more important thing to emphasize. And it took me a few days to get to that point myself, right? Because, of course, the first thing you do when you look at something new is you critique, well, but wait a minute, how do I do this and how do I do that? And, well, this seems harder than what I was expecting, you know. So, but it's still, you know, very early.
Yeah, and it's not a complete picture, right?
It's not a complete picture, yeah.
But I think,
but it's still very powerful once you sort of, you got to take a step back and you got to look at, this is a repository that is shared across, you know, the administrative view, the deployment and runtime. It's actually running from a repository.
Yeah.
And the core then of my app becomes data.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the core of any app if you really think about it today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, what is IL but data, right?
Right.
I mean, that was a very subtle shift that a lot of people don't think about. That IL is just data that at the last minute is turned to instructions, right? So if we just said, well, the data that you're going to hang around with is a little more abstract than IL, right?
You know,
I mean, it's partly that's what's going on here. I think part of the big challenge, like you said, though, is understanding this big picture. Because when you first look at .NET 4, you'll see a lot of very familiar stuff and new enhancements for people who like to sling a lot of code. You're going to see that.
Right.
But then you'll see things that you go like, well, I don't get why are they doing that? You know, for like, why do I want to have a WCF service entirely in XAML and invoking a workflow? I mean, why would that make sense? But then when you tie that with the repository and Oslo, and you begin to get why it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Did you find that it was a little, did you have that kind of experience? Like,
not so much with the XAML only. Uh-huh. I don't think that is as directly important to the repository from where I stand. But, you know, I may not get it yet, so.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
I think that the repository itself makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. The idea of having a repository that is easier to generate and manage, the idea that I can customize without writing code a UI that allows me to interact with all that content mm-hmm. for my application is really, really cool. And I didn't get that right away because when I first looked at the UI, all I saw was sort of the base model that was provided. In mm-hmm. other words, there's a lot of lists and things available just in the framework, you know, a lot of objects and things to build applications from, like modules and, you know, web modules and this and that. So I was confused. What is all this stuff? What do I do? And, you know, that's important. You know, people will feel that way maybe if they just open Quadrant and say, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, yeah.
But what you have to look at is, I went to D, I generated a model.
You went to M.
M. I keep saying D, I know, what am I thinking? So yeah, I went and I created an M model,
yeah.
an M module, right? And I executed that and I generated my model, and then all of a sudden Quadrant changed
yeah.
when I viewed that, right? So now I'm seeing constructs that are my own.
Yeah.
And that's really, really, really powerful. So
well, in fact,
that was the epiphany. That's what, yeah.
When you think about in the UI layer, mm-hmm. I remember in the 90s writing MFC UIs, you know, loads
Ouch.
And loads, you're slinging lots of code, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was really, really intense.
Yeah. Doc view.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
And now we've moved to, you know, a very declarative UI model with WPF and mm-hmm. data binding and all kinds of stuff, and to the point where you know, we don't have to sling a lot of code at a UI anymore to
well,
get a pretty rich one.
You shouldn't have to get, you know, I remember building ATL
yeah,
UIs
yeah. Oh,
of
yeah.
all things, right, where focus didn't work and you had to create all these custom controls just to get something that you needed, like a little icon here that dropped down the list. And,
uh-huh.
I mean, that stuff is kind of long gone in
yeah,
a way.
Thankfully.
And I think that to some extent the declarative model helps us with that. I mean, we shouldn't really have to look at XAML ever, in my opinion. I think people do
right.
that are experts because they want to tweak and play and make it really, you know, cool.
Yeah.
But for me, right, I'm no longer a UI queen, so
yeah.
I just pretty much want to drag and drop and build my UI and use tools, and I can do that.
So I guess what I'm saying is, if the UI layer was sort of the first layer to get this kind of makeover of very declarative and kind of drag and drop and mm-hmm. experience, do you think that this, what we're seeing now, is the beginnings of that kind of experience pushing down into the business logic layer?
Yeah, I think one day what we should be able to do, and I hope that this happens, is I should be able to design my whole application with a model.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be able to, you know, from there, let's say, drill to a service or a workflow and implement an operation with drag and drop. I'm literally.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that are, you know, available, right, with Oslo and through Quadrant or, you know, with .NET 4 and the workflow improvements
mm-hmm.
is the ability to drag and drop, you know, let's say a receive activity, which would be my message that came in and kicked off the workflow. And the very next call could be a link call or some other SQL call to a database, in which
yeah.
case I could drag and drop the DB update or DB query control, and that would get me, you know, my data. And then maybe I want to send that data to another service so I can have a send activity
mm-hmm.
that sends me down. Now, it's not called send activity anymore, right? Like send message, and who knows where it will land in
yeah,
terms of the
yeah.
name, but you get the idea. I received a message, I made a call to the database, and then I sent another message. And I should be able to configure more or less all of that right there in the workflow without having to know a lot about WCF and without having to understand. I mean, I should be able to pick some quick templates that satisfy a little bit more than just your standard binding would, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's the vision, right? I don't know if that's going to be the vision in release one, but that's the vision that I see us heading towards with this. So I hope that that happens.
Well, when you think about it, though, I mean, isn't that like a lot of services, a lot of web services are just, you know, get a message, look something up in a database, update that database, call that service, done.
Right.
You know, and I mean, those kind of things often are calling on sort of discrete components that you wrote to do those little parts.
Right.
And they're just kind of coordinating stuff.
Right.
Why not that be a workflow?
And you can still, you still want the experience that after I set up those basic things, this is my SQL command and so forth, that if I want to double click and drive in mm-hmm. to that control or that activity
mm-hmm.
and override some stuff, like, okay, when the call comes back, I want to do something else and, you know, do a transfer, I don't know what, you know,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
whatever your business logic requires, you should still be able to do that.
Yeah.
But basic stuff that we keep rewriting over and over again,
mm-hmm.
that's the stuff we're trying to avoid, and that's where the, you know, no code comes from. So in theory, a very simple application may indeed one day not require any code.
Yeah.
I mean, or at least close to that.
But here's the thing I think that's interesting is when, if you could take that
mm-hmm.
and then move it to the cloud, because the thing mm. about the cloud is it's a constrained environment. It's a powerful environment, but you make a trade. You say like, okay, I'm willing to live in your sandbox, but you manage the whole thing, give me highly scalable, distributed environment, I never have to think about it,
right?
I mean, we've made that leap for websites,
right.
and most people said, well, I'm willing to take the trade-off. You know, yeah, I got to run a medium trust, and
right.
yeah, I got to live in your sandbox, but it's worth it. You
right.
know, I think, do you think we're going to see the same kind of move with services?
It's possible. I mean, there already are some things coming. You know, I mean, if you look at BizTalk Services as it's called today,
mm-hmm.
and I believe they're putting it under a different umbrella soon.
Yeah, yeah.
But that will have... Right now, it's already got Relay, which means, you know, I can host services in the cloud, and you basically are giving me my endpoint if I don't have the ability because of a firewall problem or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then we've got identity, which is huge. I mean, in my world, because that's what I spend a lot of time doing,
sure.
right, is security token services and claims-based security. Who wants to implement that?
Yeah.
Who knows how to implement that, right? So the cloud gives you configurability, maybe with limitations,
mm-hmm.
To issue tokens, and that's already happening. So I think, you know, the next, well, one of the other things that is up there right now are workflow activities
yeah.
that are in the cloud. So I think they're heading in that direction in terms of supplying a coordination of applications and services in the context of even a workflow in the cloud.
Yeah.
So definitely it's heading there. At some point, you're going to have a service that you host
yeah.
as well. I mean, obviously, I mean, you're not going to necessarily put all your business logic in somebody else's cloud, but
sure.
it doesn't mean it's not possible.
Yeah, but
I think it's more of the reusable infrastructure, I think, that we're looking for, though, in the
yeah.
cloud, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it raises, you know, a lot of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be sort of different levels of how you take advantage of the cloud. There's a level where you say, like, yeah, I'll live, here's my workflow or my service that lives in the sandbox that you gave me. And then there'll be other kind of services where it's like, no, I just want a virtual machine in the cloud. I want to own that thing. I can do whatever I want in it. And, you know, you're going to just give me that in some compute infrastructure and you know, however that works. But you mm-hmm. get what you want out of it without the big headache of, you know, my data center and my racks of servers
yeah,
and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So I think that's a really exciting world to look forward to. And we're kind of, you know, the thing that strikes me about this, the more I've thought about it through doing these interviews with you guys, is the initial coder in you, you know, when you first look at all this, you go, is this great? Is it? But I think to get the big vision, you have to think about the bigger picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the elements of this probably don't really excite the average coder the way that, you know, like, show me some new cool feature of C# would, you know.
Right.
Just that way, you know.
Right. Well, and I think, too, that the first release of, say, Quadrant, right, is really focused on workflow, right? It's not going to mm-hmm. be focused on the overall modeling of everything in your application. So that's why we talk about a vision, right? This is, you know, a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think it's going to be most useful for immediately is, again, you've got your developers that need to do a little bit of everything. So if I can more easily generate my model
mm-hmm.
and possibly generate DSLs on top of that, have that visual in my quadrant UI. So now I don't have to write code to propose a UI that allows us to visualize our data, our entities, the relations, and so forth.
Yeah.
Certainly I can use it to design workflow too. I'm not going to suggest that everybody needs workflow today though. Mm-hmm. I think at some point, literally every service operation could be implemented as some sort of workflow because it's better performing in 4.0.
Yeah.
And so if the tools are given to me to generate that one day, then I would buy it. Absolutely. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, the vision right now is more about the model. Right? Give me that foundation. Let me view it. Let me interact with it. Certainly, I can also build some workflows if that's applicable to my application, and I can run them. And part of that can be receive activities and send activities and services. Right? So that's all in there.
You know what I see as a potential here that just hit me, you know.
ISVs.
Well,
this is a huge opportunity for ISVs.
Absolutely
big
is.
Time.
But it's also an opportunity for community-based things. Like, I think about you guys at iDesign mm-hmm. have some pretty cool stuff, you know, like Service Model EX, your library for working with WCF, and mm-hmm. even your coding standards. I like your C# coding standard and the WCF coding standard.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just kind of ways that you take this expert knowledge you have and kind of share it with the community. It hit me as you were describing that, you know, making a DSL and the models and all that is, you know, maybe people like yourselves and others will build DSLs that, you know, kind of embody that knowledge so that, you know, somebody who doesn't know everything you know will go in and just do the thing and your models are going to come to life and give them a much
Very
better
possible.
Thing.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, this is a huge way for us to kind of share knowledge that, you know, sharing it through a class library or something works, but it's not maybe as straightforward as this would be.
Well, it's really not a lot different than any way we share, mm-hmm. you know, examples or reference implementations to help people, right?
Yeah.
You take the tools we have today and the things that are challenging about them and or the things that you can do to make you know, to raise it up a level, right? You're saving people from writing some plumbing somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you talk about the modeling aspect of it, maybe you're not saving them from plumbing because it's already removed from plumbing, but what you're doing is saying, hey, let me help you with a typical model.
Mm-hmm.
These are some typical models you might need. So now here's a model.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's all about shortcutting to stuff that everybody needs. And making it so that they don't have to do it themselves. Plus, it does give them good examples of how to proceed for their own implementations.
Yeah, so you could imagine, mm-hmm. you know, hey, I'm going to build some intranet service solution, mm-hmm. and you go with instead of starting from ground zero, you start with a model that has a suggested reference implementations all laid out, it's all reviewed and everything.
Yep.
That would be sweet.
Very sweet. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool stuff. I think it will be a shift for a lot of people, and I think it will take a little time for the masses to get it.
Yeah.
But again, it's so early right now, which is what's great about sharing this stuff early on.
Yeah.
So people can throw darts at it if they want. You know, they can they can give all that feedback right after the PDC and
there will be darts.
And there will be darts.
And
you
there
know?
Already have been.
And there's been some darts this week, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
that's because you know we in a way it's because we see the vision too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I see what this is, and I'm like, well. When will I be able to do this, this, and this? And it's almost like when you start thinking that way, sometimes you can lose sight of what could I use it for now?
Right, right.
Because you have a specific thing you want it for, and you know that that's possible.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're kind of waiting for that second phase or whatnot. And that's typical, right,
sure.
of any software release, even at Microsoft, right, is
yeah.
that everybody, you know, they get the first version and they say, but what about these five things,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I think there will be a lot of that. But again, just coming back to the vision, it's pretty cool.
Well, and that's what this is about.
Yeah.
Here at PDC, we're kind of opening the kimono, say, take a
Notice
look.
Notice we avoided the darts in this conversation. Yes. Did you hear me say anything? No.
Well, you could have, but it's okay.
I could have.
But no, there's going to be plenty of time for that. But actually, no, I find that the team really wants to hear. You know, they're kind of throwing this out here and saying, this is what we got so far. Tell us what you think.
I'm really glad you brought that up because
that's
one of the things I have to say, and this is in all honesty, is that this is probably one of the best SDRs I've been to.
Yeah.
Maybe because of the breadth of what we talked about, but looking at the sheer number of people that attended every day
right.
and that sat there listening, and of course, you know, product teams in the past years have, I think, just been really good about interacting with people like us that come in and really wanting to know, why did you think that? Or why does this bother you? And, you know, in some cases, I'm educated on maybe a new way to think.
Yeah.
And in other cases, maybe, you know, I have a point, and others about things they didn't think of. But
it's
really good interaction, and I'm happy to see so much interest in getting that feedback, because there were a lot of things, you know, UI-wise and such, that it's just kind of rough around the edges, right? And you're like, why didn't you do this? I mean, what's going on? And, you know, I mean, some of it will hopefully get in before the release, right? I mean, I'm kind of crossing my fingers on that, because...
That's the plan.
Because if it does, it's going to really be so solid,
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today on Endpoint.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.